Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
All right, clicking in it. All right, praise God. So we're continuing where I left off on the mind-heart transfer. And my question last time was, who are we? That's a question that I see that we have to ask ourselves. Sometimes we go through life and we don't recognize who we are, right? So what happens? We start doing things that just to fit in with different people. We start trying to figure ourselves out. We try to follow society, follow out what should we wear, what should we do. That's because we haven't found out who we are. And if we don't start with our own minds, we're lost. I also talked about in the Word of God in Romans chapter 1. I'm not going to read it this time, but I read it last week. Romans chapter 1, the latter part of the chapter. It was actually Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. It talked about when we reject God, we give our mind over to a corrupt mind. So as soon as we reject God, what happens is he starts saying, okay, you want to reject me as God. And how do people reject God today? They recognize that there is a higher power, right? Everybody will say there's a higher power. But when people say, I don't believe that there's a God, I just believe there's some higher power, you begin to reject God. And what does God say will happen? They turn over to a debased mind, which means like when you're playing baseball, you play baseball, man? No, not at all. Anybody play baseball before? Anybody? All right. So when you play baseball, they got four bases, right? Come on, everybody know there's four bases in baseball. This ain't rocket science. There's four bases in baseball. Now just imagine playing baseball minus the bases. Right? You hit the ball, what do? Whatever you want to do, right? Because there's no bases. That's what happens when you have a debased mind. There's no bases in your mind. We can't understand the way that you're thinking because you've taken the bases out of baseball and you hit the ball and you made a home run without running. Why? Because you just said, hey, I made a home run. And what begins to happen is when your mind is debased, you start thinking things that are outside the scripture. It talks about sexual immorality. It talks about homosexuality. It talks about just a whole bunch of different things that I'm not going to go into because I talked about that last time. You can check it out on podcast. How you like that? Check it out on podcast. But today I'm going to ask you, where is your mind? Where is your mind? Just think for a while. Where is your mind at? Is your mind, as I talked about earlier, is your mind on spiritual things or is it on carnal things? We're going to talk about that, and we're going to also ask who or what shapes our mind. Now, I watch TV. All of us watch TV every now and then. But there was a commercial where this girl was she was getting some kind of car insurance, and she was like, yeah, I got the greatest car insurance. How do you know that? She said, it was on the internet. They said, you know, it can't lie on the internet. That's what the lady was saying, right? You seen that commercial? So she was like, yeah, I got the greatest insurance. And he's like, man, I don't know, but my insurance sounds like it's better. Then after that, she's like, oh, yeah, this is my French boyfriend I met on the internet, right? And the guy is not French. He's a hot mess, right? And then he just comes and say, oui, oui. And she was like, see, I told you. You know, they don't lie on the internet. Now, the funny thing about that is, some people have that mindset that the internet, whatever the internet is true. Whatever the internet says is true. You can Google search something, and if it says on the internet this is true, you believe that. Matter of fact, there's a lot of Christians going to the internet instead of the Word of God to base their Christianity off of. And what happens is this is not what God said. The internet is not always true. But let me tell you something that is always true. That's the Word of God. Despite what man says to twist the Word of God, despite take out man, the Word of God says, let God be true and every man be a lie. That means me, that means you, that means everybody in here. Let God's word be true and every man be a lie. Amen. So that means when we see God's word, we have a job to do, and that's to accept what his word says. Amen. Let's go to my first scripture. And as we're turning there, I'm going to pray Romans 8, verse 5. We're going to pull it up on the screen, too. But Heavenly Father, we just come praying, dear God, that you would just allow us, dear God, to have the mind that you want us to have, oh God. We come praying, dear God, that you would remove any confusion right now, oh God. I pray, dear God, that our spirits, dear God, will be in tune with you, dear God, so that we can hear what you have for us, oh God, and that you would shape our minds tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. So Romans 8, verse 5 starts out and it says, my little side note for this is, where is your mind? Everybody say, where is your mind? Now, your mind could be on a whole bunch of different things, but when we look at what the Word of God says, there's two different places that your mind can be. Let's start at verse 5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, somebody say the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. All right? So what does that mean? We're going to find out. But there's one way where one group of people set their minds. On the flesh. It says, but those who live according to the Spirit, somebody say the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, and carnally is talking about flesh, is death. Somebody say death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, let's just talk about this real quick. Usually when you are in God, your mind is in peace, right? Anybody been in praise and worship and you just did nothing? You could have been through a whole bunch before you got in church service. And when you was in praise and worship, your mind is just, man, God is good. Why? Because you're now spiritually minded. But now if you go outside the world and you're thinking about, oh, my car, no, your mind is on things of the flesh. It's that simple to understand. It said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, or is against God, is an enemy of God. Okay? For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Everybody understanding? For you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And he's talking to the church when he says that. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So when we have our mind on the things of God, we have our things on righteousness. Amen. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now in here, there's two different places where we can have our minds, in the flesh and or in the Spirit. Now, what does it look like to have your mind in the flesh? Come on, somebody, I share some things, but somebody share some things that what it means to have your mind in the flesh. And I'm going to stay here till y'all say something because y'all quiet today. Always worried about your financial situation, right? I mean, now, how many of us worry about our financial situation? I do, right? But see, this is the thing. And we had a brother, we have a Thursday night service prayer that we, Bible study that we do over the phone. And one guy, man, he's working three jobs, and he's thinking about getting another job, which is a dangerous job. And I was like, what are you getting that job for? Money? I was like, yeah, money, whatever. But I was like, we shouldn't be chasing money like that. Even when you guys have jobs, you have to understand that God is your source. When you don't have a job, you have to understand that God is your source. Worrying about our job is something natural, but if we could trust God, even though we may worry a little bit, if we could say, man, I'm just going to be at peace because I know God's going to take care of me, because the Word of God says The righteous will never be forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. I don't have to just be running around like a chicken with my head cut off, worrying about my job. Now, when you see what has happened is now my flesh says worry about my job, right? But the word of God says trust God. Don't worry about your job. So I have two choices. I can look at what my flesh says, or I can look at what the word of God says. And that's where we are at a lot of times, because a lot of times the mind is where the battle is at. Amen? I don't even have to talk to some people. The mind is where the battle's at. I know people are battling. Can I share this story, babe? I just asked her. She don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, right before we came here, I've been telling you guys as of late, people at the bank, when they're getting their money, it's open season. This is what I say. It's open season for ministry to them, right? Because when you got your credit card or debit card in that bank machine, you're not leaving until you get your money. So it's going to take a while for them to get their money, right? And I noticed this thing. So I've been asking everybody that when I'm by myself with them, I say, man, what do you think about Jesus? And, you know, either they get a big smile or their head goes like this. Right? They ain't even said anything yet. And, you know, they might say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, or I don't know, I'm kind of confused. And when, after that, now I have the opportunity to witness to them. Now, I've had some people that say, I'm spiritual, I don't believe in Jesus. Da, da, da. So I ask some questions, just, you know, plant seeds. It's not my job to save people. I understand that. But it's our job to share the gospel with different people, with all people. And God just does so many things, man. I've been doing this for the last 3 or 4 months, and I've got into some great conversations with people. We was almost late coming here today because I was talking to another young lady who was thinking about converting to another religion. And I was like, why you want to do that? And, you know, she had her, you know, the... She had the eyebrows, like, yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. And I was like, well, let's get in it, you know. But that's what we do, because our mind is a battlefield. And guess what? The devil is after our mind, right? The devil is after your mind. If he could confuse you, he wins, right? God is not a God of confusion. When we read the word of God, what happens is sometimes we get confused because we don't believe it should be like that. Or we read the word, well, man, this was written thousands of years ago. How can it deal with my situation today? You're getting confused because your mind is saying, I don't believe. Instead of reading the word of God and say, man, that dude opened up the Red Sea. Wow, I got it. Man, that's powerful. I believe that happened. But today, now we want to get scientific. How did he open up the Red Sea? He must have, you know, what happened? Did the sea really open up, or did they, you know what I'm saying, did they build like a bridge, like I-90 and walk on dry bridge? You know, like we start thinking a whole bunch of different things. But when the word of God says he opened up the Red Sea, us as believers have to say, man, I believe that to happen. You can go look in Egypt history. They had a lapse around that time when the sea was opened up. Why? Because they drowned in the Red Sea. Even historically, things hold up for the Bible. Now, I was talking to somebody, and I know I'm getting sidetracked, but hey, it's all good. There was a man I was talking to. He has an office where my office is at, and I was like, we were talking about Noah's Ark. And he was like, he didn't believe the Bible. And I said, you know they found Noah's Ark, right? And he's like, well, if you think about things long enough, you're going to find something. And I was like, okay, bro, but it's Noah's Ark. It was built years ago. Did everybody know they found Noah's Ark? They know where Noah's Ark is right now. And for you to take evidence, just like if you go to court and say, this is the evidence right here, nowadays people want to check that evidence. Even though it's clear cut, this was Noah's Ark, they don't want to believe it. Why? Because they're confused. Amen? So where is our minds? I got to talk about this, man. This week, I found out, I guess it happened a while ago, but there was a believer in Egypt that was a pastor. He was preaching the word of God, and in Egypt, it's a hostile nation against Christianity, and usually they're battling with Muslims. He was a Muslim that got converted to Christianity, and he got caught as a Christian, and they told him to denounce his faith, which means turn away from Jesus, and he didn't. So, to make a long story short, and I actually watched this happen, they cut his neck off because he didn't denounce Jesus Christ. And that's probably one of the realest things I ever seen in my life. I seen him cut his neck open, the whole nine. But you know what I watched about it? He was at peace the whole time. He wasn't like screaming. He wasn't worried because his mind was on the things of the spirit. Now, if his mind was on the things of the flesh, yeah, he would have been screaming. He would have been yelling. He would have denounced Jesus because he would have been able to live. But since he knew the cost of following Jesus, where it talks about that, if you're not willing to deny yourself and follow me and take up your cross, you're not worthy of me. That's what God said. And he did that. And for me to watch that, I mean, like, I'm not no bloody dude. Like, I don't like watching stuff like that. But I learned, man, this man, right before he left this earth, made a strong stance for God. His mind was on the things of God. And I want to go to 1 Peter 4:7, which talks about being sober-minded. All right? Now, what does sober mean when you're sober? Come on, help me out. Sound. All right, what if you drink something and you become unsober, you're drunk, right? Intoxicated. He's helping me out right there. I like that word. So when you're intoxicated, your mind thinks differently, right? If you try to drive while you're intoxicated, what happens? You're going to drive different. Some people's minds are intoxicated without a drink because they've allowed different things to shape their mindset. Amen? Let's go ahead and read what this says. 1 Peter 4:7. All right. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. I think I want to read a couple more of those scriptures. Hold up real quick. First Peter 4:7. All right, but it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Now, somebody say, what does that have to do with being a sober mind? When we read this, this is saying, all right, now the end of all things is at hand. What does that mean? When something is at hand, that means it's right here, okay? The end of all is at hand. So life is right here. Your choices are serious. And it says, therefore, be serious. Somebody say serious. Now, when your mind is sober, you think seriously. You think like, okay, if I'm driving, let me make sure I stay in my lane, right? If you're sober, you're trying to stay in your lane, but you see three lanes, and it's a one lane highway or whatever. So what it's saying is be serious and watchful in your prayers. Part of having a sound mind or a sober mind is continuing to be watchful and continuing to pray. When we are in prayer with God, it allows us to have a connection with God. It connects us with God. Do we all know that? Has anybody ever prayed for something in their life? Now, let me say this. Just because you pray There's a formula to receive things from God, all right? I can't pray, God, give me $1 million tomorrow, God. Like, this is how some people pray. They don't say for a million, but they say something like this. God, I need something. I need $1 million. Why you need that? Oh, man, I'm just trying to ball. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to have it all, right? And as funny as that sounds, sometimes we pray like that for things that we want. We don't get everything that we want. The Word of God doesn't say that you get everything that you want when you pray, right? The Word of God says when you pray, ask the Father who gives generously, and everything that you pray for that lines up with His will, somebody say His will, you will receive. That's what we receive. Now, if it's in God's will for me to get $1 million, Lord, please make it in there. But if it's His will, right, then while I pray that, He's going to open that door. But I can't get it and do selfish things with it. Some people look at God as a Santa Claus, like, God, I just need this. God, I just need that. But guess what? God needs something from you. He needs you to live for Him. If you don't live for God, the Word of God is very clear. If you're not standing in right standing with God, which is another word for righteousness, that man should not think he should receive anything from God. If you're a double-minded person, remember I was talking about if you're driving in the lane and you see two lanes and you all over the, that's a double-minded man. The Bible says in James chapter 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all he does. So that a double-minded man is like this. I'm at church, so I'm going to be with the church people. Hey, praise God, saints, hallelujah. Hey, I'm with this other scene over here. They ain't talking about church. I'm double-minded. Oh, yeah. F that. That's double-minded. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all he does. So what happens, that mentality, that mindset, you become double-minded. You don't understand what is right from wrong. You know what's right, but you don't do right. And that's what happens when your mind is double-minded. Amen? Philippians 3:17-21. Let's see what this says about our minds. And then I'm going to get to how this starts to transfer to our hearts. What did I say? Philippians 3:17. It says, brethren or brothers or my sisters, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have. I'm sorry. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, or whom I have told you often and now telling you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Somebody say destruction. Whose God is their belly. What does that mean when it says their God is their belly? They're after whatever that can satisfy them. Right. You know what? When people don't believe in God or even say they believe in God, but they do whatever pleases them more than they do please God, their God is their bellies. Now, do you ever see somebody worshiping their belly like, oh, praise my belly? You see some people do that? Well, after they eat, you know, they do stroke it a little bit. But nobody bows down to their belly. It's actually pretty difficult to bow down to your belly. But you see it in the way that they act. Do a group project with some people, right? Right? Everybody's supposed to hold up their part. Somebody's like, man, I ain't doing everything. I'm not doing that with these people. I'm going to go ahead and get my own grade. I'm going to do it by myself. Why? Because they're all about themselves. Play basketball. I love basketball. I still got it, right? Ariel said I didn't, though. I heard that last time. She was like, he didn't have it. And I was like, what is she talking about? Anyways, I don't have it like I used to have it. But let's say you go play basketball. and you got five people on the team. But one person thinks he's the man. He ain't passing the ball. He's trying to score 40 points, and we only playing 21, right? We're only going to 21, but he's trying to get it all. Now, everybody else is running up and down the court like, hey, man, pass me the ball, pass me the – but he's so selfish, he won't pass the ball. So what happens? Are you going to pick that person on your team? Next – oh, man, nah. Even if you're not good, you're not going to pick him, even if he's great. Why? Because it's not fun. He's not a team player. His God is his belly. And it also says, whose glory is in their shame. That's interesting that it says their glory is in their shame. Who set their minds on earthly things. Somebody say earthly things. If your mind is set on earthly things, you are a selfish person. Usually, right? But it says, for our citizenship is heaven, is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Now, it talked about the mind in here a couple times as well. It talks about a selfish mind, a mind that is only after earthly things, and also a mind whose mind is set on eagerly waiting for the Lord. Now, it's very important that we wait on God. Like I said, God is not a genie. God is not a quick fix. We look at our life sometimes and we're like, man, God, where are you at? God is teaching you to wait on God. He's teaching you to wait on him. You know what? I found out, man, just being in the Lord and the word of God says, when you wait on the Lord, you will renew your strength. You know, think about that. Before God even comes, if you're waiting on him, your strength will be renewed. What's that mean? As I'm like, man, God, I need you, God. God, I need you to show up in my situation right now. As I wait on God, instead of start thinking with my own mind, man, I could figure something out. I could go. No, when you wait on God and just sit still, God is already teaching you things. He's teaching you to wait on him. And as you wait on him, your strength begins to get renewed. It didn't say when God came with that prayer. Try waiting on God in the next situation that you're in. You say, God, man, I'm just going to sit here. I don't know how it's going to get done, God, but I'm just going to pray and expect that you're doing something. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to go before God. What happened is you're starting to build your strength in God. And when our mind is set on spiritual things, that's what happens. And I say this. We all have to do this. Even when I'm preaching this, this is something that I got to work on. Waiting on the Lord for whatever God I'm waiting on. Amen? Let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 17. I'm not going to be up here too much. Oh, I can say I got time today. What? I got up here early today. Usually I get up here at 8. Let's talk about the new man. Somebody say the new man. Come on, say it like you mean it. Now, how many of you know before you come to Christ, the way that you acted, that is considered the old man. Somebody say the old man. We were all selfish. We all cared about ourselves. You might have been a good selfish person. There's good selfish people out there too, right? They ain't going to hurt too many people, but like when it all comes down and if they don't get theirs, there's going to be a problem, right? There's good people like that. There's extreme selfish people. But before God, we were all selfish. We were all about ourselves. And it says this in verse 17. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Somebody say, walk as the rest of the Gentiles. Now, what is Gentiles? That meant people that were not, at that time, living for God, okay? At that time. Now, we know that the word of God was sent out to the Gentiles so that they can be saved as well. But it talks about the way that they walked. And how did they walk? In the futility of their mind. Somebody say in the futility. What's futility mean? Anybody know? Come on. I'm going to have to look this up. Nobody knows. Anybody? You want to give a shot at it? You say what? Wasted effort. I like that. So it says they walked in wasted effort. You guys are looking it up over there? Yeah, okay. I still want that debt. Are you looking it up too? All right. Wasted effort. People that live today and think after they die, life is over, man, you're doing a lot of work for nothing. Think about it. What you doing all this work for? You getting a house, you doing all this work, this toiling, and one day it's just going to be nothing, right? But it also talks about this. It says, having their understanding darkened, and you can still get that for me, being alienated from the life of God. Somebody say, from the life of God. Being separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now somebody's like, dang, it had a lot of nisses in there, right? But let's look at what that's saying. You got it? What's it say, Pastor Precious? There we go. Just like my man said. Yeah, wasted effort. Useless. You're living a useless life because you have separated yourself from God. Now, how do we separate ourselves from God? It says right here, because of ignorance in our life. Right? It also says because of blindness of the heart. What does that mean? Blindness of the heart. When your heart is blind, it's not your eyes, right? You can still see. But many people have grown blind to God in their heart because they've seen God do some things in their life. But they don't want to claim that it was God, right? They want to say it was coincidence. It was luck. Oh, you got in a 6-car accident. You was the 3rd car and you walked away without a scratch. Oh, man, I was lucky. Right? That's what people say, right? You were lucky. Not realizing, did that happen to you, man? You got an accident like that? Praise the Lord. But you still here. But see, God, he doesn't want you to say that was luck. He wants you to acknowledge him and say, God, man, praise God, I'm alive. I just seen one of my friends, man, his car just got totaled. He was coming to the studio. The last turn right before my job, he totaled his car. And the guy that was right in the passenger seat, the person hit right behind him. And the guy got out. He was like, man, I just thank God I'm alive, man. If he would have went a second later, that could have been me. And I was like, man, see, that's the mindset that we have to have. And I'm not putting you down or nothing like that. That was just God saying that. But what we have to understand is, God is ultimately in control, and when we try to find different ways for things to happen in our life, when we know, man, that had to be an act of God, we are becoming blind in our hearts. And it says, when they're blind in their hearts, they give themselves over to lewdness. Lewdness is evil work, right? You give yourself over to evil because you're so mad at God. Anybody know somebody that's mad at God? They're doing everything and anything they can to try to get back at God. Like, God, look, I'm going to do this. Like that's not going to make your relationship better with God. Right? You can't get back at God. They talk about boxing God. You can't box God. Your arms is not long enough. Right? Like, You can't box spirit. You cannot box a spirit. People think they can box the devil. You can't box the devil. The devil's a spirit. Now, you can defeat the devil with the word of God, with prayer, but you can't try to defeat him in your own flesh. But these people, they're trying to do evil, all kind of uncleanness to get back at God. But it says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, somebody say conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Somebody say renewed. The whole thing about being a Christian, your mind has to be renewed. Your thoughts have to be changed. Now, this doesn't happen from meditating, like, you know, sitting on a couch or, not a couch, say, sitting on a mat and, you know, doing those chants and stuff like that. That's the wrong kind of meditation. That meditation doesn't produce godliness. That meditation produces really witchcraft, because you're waiting on something to talk to you. That's not, you don't go to God in prayer like that. And it says in 23, and be renewed in your spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Somebody say new man. Come on, everybody. New man. New man. Which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We need to be in right standing with God. It comes back to that. If you want your mind to be right, be in right standing with God. Okay? That means even if you don't know all the word of God, do the things that you know that's in the word of God. For example, obey your parents. Now, in today's life, parents are like opinions today, right? Kids got an opinion, parents got an opinion. Kids will be like, man, I'm not listening to my parents' opinion no more. The word of God says, children, obey your parents so that your days may be long. That's a promise from the word of God. But people... My mom or my dad told me, man, bump that dude. I got something else to do, right? Why? Because there's one thing that's in the word of God, but they're trying to figure out another way to get it done. Why? And they don't think it pleases their selves to obey their parents. What happened? Because they're earthly minded. When you're spiritually minded, you obey your parents. Now, that's not an easy thing. I was 18, still living with my parents. I had hey, Marquise, you got to be home at 10 o'clock. I'm 18, man. I'm a grown man. Hey, Marquise, you got to be, you know, home at 10 o'clock. All right, Dad. That's what I had to do because I had a relationship with God. And I was like, I want to please God. And pleasing God starts with me being obedient to my parents. Now, when you got out the house, I'll go into that later. But our mind has to be switched, amen? My question is, who is shaping your mind? Who or what shapes your mind? Think about it. If BET, you watch BET, man? Every once in a while. Who listens to the radio? You listen to the radio? What you listening to, man? Everything, okay. A lot of these things shape our minds. Now some of us don't believe it, right? I had this conversation with Ariel before. I was like, man, listen. What are you listening to, Ariel? Oh, I'm listening to this person. They're a pretty good person. Okay, cool, that's good. But even these good people, they begin to shape our minds. Now, right now, Nicki Minaj, somebody say Nicki Minaj, is shaping a lot of people's minds. She's doing a lot of crazy things. Some things that are straight demonic. And people don't believe it because they don't believe the word of God. And if you don't believe the word of God, there really is not a devil. You can do whatever you want to do. So on and so on. But she was levitating on an award show or whatever, something like that, right? She was doing some crazy stuff. But what happens is people that mindset is not on God, and I seen a lot of people got really upset about it, and they're trying to figure out, did she really levitate over there? Oh, okay. You telling them what happened? Yeah, okay. Was it crazy? So she was possessed, right? She was possessed, and the funny thing is, there was a priest that couldn't cast the demon out of her because she was saying that the demon was stronger than the church, basically. So she started doing a whole bunch of things. But and the thing that I was like, you know what's crazy? People that didn't have a mind of God, they were like, that was pretty cool. Did you see what she did? Oh, my God. I want to be just like Nicki Minaj. And guess what? What happens is when you start saying things like that, you're going to do whatever she do. Not knowing a couple months later, she had a mental crash. Why did she have a mental crash? Because her spirit was being tormented the whole time. Because she was selling out to get what she thought she was going to get. Now, she's popular, right? Everybody know who that is. I think they almost got dolls that are about to come out like her. She's popular, but her mind was messed up. Her mind was messed up. And what happens is if we are not having our mind shaped with the word of God, we look at that and say, that's what I want. That's why it's funny that a lot of people, they live in church their whole life, but if they get the money, they're out the church. Why? Because their mind was set on earthly things. Their mind was set on earthly things. So you got people that live today that, man, if I just get money, I'm good, right? Outside of the church, that's what people think, right? Inside the church, that's what some people think. As long as I get money, my life is perfect. It don't matter how I get it. As long as I got money, I'm going to always smile. But how many know they say more money, more problems? But some of us don't believe that because we're trying to get that money, right? So I say if you put another zero behind your money, you're going to have more problems. They come a slave to that money. They're going to get the money. So what do you got? I made a million this time. What I got to do next time to get the money? Oh, but it got another zero on it. Oh, okay. Well, man, that's kind of, hey, I think I'm going to do it, though. Why? Because that is their God. Do you know people live for their God? They don't even have to say anything. But if you watch people long enough, they live for their God. And it starts with your mind. Who is your God? Who or what is shaping your mind? Is that music that you're listening to shaping your mind more than the word of God? Is the things you watch on TV shaping your mind more than the word of God? Is the things that you're listening to, I even ask this, is the things that we listen to, are they anti what the word of God says or against what the word of God says? Sometimes it is, right? Let's just be honest. They got songs like booty, booty, booty. Like it's just, and then Chris is coming into church singing that song. Like, oh, I forgot to turn my radio off before I can praise the Lord. I mean, that's the worst thing I see, man. Hey, look, I've seen that happen, and I ain't pointing fingers, but I'm just saying I've seen that happen. We at church, the person don't turn his radio off before, and you come out of the church, and the first thing you hear is that, and they like, hey, hurry up, turn that off, right? Why? Because they're trying to hide it. But check this out. Their mindset is wrong because you have to understand that God sees all anyway. But you understand what I'm saying? God sees all. Right? Do we believe that? God sees everything you do. But you try to hide it from just the church people. Right? It's like, why is your mind is messed up because you think you're getting away with something. And that's what the devil does. The devil, he wants you to think you're getting away with something. Hey, nobody saw that. Right? Nobody saw what you just did. There was nobody else here, man. Go ahead. Just act like it didn't happen. And what he does is after a while, he starts, that's right. Now you're trapped because I know what it is, and I have this mind control over you because you're captive to that sin that he has with you. Every time you sin, that's another chance that you give the devil to hold on you. He holds on to you. Every time you fall into temptation, that doesn't mean temptation happens to everybody. I'm going to say that. But doing that wrong, every time you do that, you give the devil another hook into you. He's like, man, I got this guy. And the only way you can be free is when you surrender to Jesus. That's the only way to get the hooks from the devil out of you. It don't matter how much you've sinned. It don't matter what you've done. When you give your life to Christ, he will forgive you of every sin. Now, let me say this. That does not mean you ain't going to have consequences for your sins. Right? If I go kill somebody tomorrow and I repent and say, God, I'm sorry for that, I still will go to jail. Right? Because that's a consequence of your sin. But in God's eyes, he wipes your slate clean. That's the wonderful thing. And when our mind is in Christ, we want to keep our slate clean. We want to say, God, man, whatever I have to do, God, I want to do it to please you because I want my mind to be right in you. Amen? I think I'm going to stop on that. Is God, the next time I get up here, I'm going to talk about, is God on your mind long enough to change your heart? Because God is in all of our minds. I got it. God is in all of our minds. When we think of it, right? We think about God every day. But that don't mean we're going to do what God wants us to do. We just think about God. We see somebody in the church. Oh, man, I know he loves God. Wow, okay. Well, hey, man, hello? You get that distraction real quick too, right? Because the devil don't want to keep your mind there. But if you're ready for your mind to be changed, if you're saying, man, I've been having problems with my mind is jacked up, I want you to come up here today and we're going to pray for you. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that he has called us to be.